or it just becomes alive. So it produces faith. The faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God, what God says. It will produce faith. Amen. So, what do we do with our faith? Write that down. What should we be doing with our faith? What should we be doing with it, you know? So I came up with two things that we're going to talk about today. So number one, our faith, this is what our faith can do in our life. Our faith can push things out, and our faith will cause us to receive, all right? Faith will push the enemy out, and faith also will cause us to receive the promises of God. Okay. So I want to start with a story. It's actually what happened last year, all right? Last year was interesting, 2020. We all walked through it, but you may not have seen it through my eyes. So I want to give you a pastor's perspective of 2020, all right? Now, I'll never forget the day our dear governor asked us to shut down, and we saw nationally they're predicting that millions of people are going to die because of this COVID virus, okay? So in case you know, some of us, we were struggling as pastors. OMG, what are we going to do? By the way, we started church in 1985. Since 1985, we've shut the church down once. And where's Brent? Where do you go? Okay, anyway. I called Brent up because we're out in Texas at a conference, and y'all got slammed with a snowstorm. And I am yelling, I'm not very nice, "You can't close church!" And he's yelling back at me because we yell at one another. In love, right? And he's going, "Dave, they're closing everything down." So, but that was the only time, and I wasn't in agreement, but I had to do what everybody said. So once, since 1985, we closed church down. So here we have our governor that's saying, "Shut your churches down." And so I got on the phone, I'm calling a couple of pastors in the area. I'm calling our Northeast Regional, Rhema, who oversees us, and I call them up with all my good things. And we're all discussing, like, "Hey, what do we do? Should we or shouldn't we?" All right? We don't know where this thing is headed. Then I called our elders, and we had a lot of phone calls going on, and we decided to shut down. The next morning, I woke up with incredible fear. Fear like I have never had before. And I flunk with Jack and had a little fear in those days, okay? We're telling stories about that. But this was a fear, and it was just a fear like I never had. But let me give you a little history, all right? So anytime we have a snow weekend, except for that one time we shut down, our giving goes down 50% or more. Our giving goes down 50% or more, okay? So I'm thinking, we are going to shut down for a month. Oh my gosh, what is that going to do to our giving? Now you're thinking, "Well, Pastor D, you shouldn't think about it." Well, raise your hand if you don't have any bills. We have bills that come in here. I got an electric bill here. We got a plumbing gas bill that comes here, all right? So I have this nagging fear that is hitting me after we made this decision. And it's almost like it was talking to me, like, "Gee, you're going to fail. The church is going to fail. The church is going to close." I had this thing talking to me, all right? So the first weekend, after we shut down, we were able to record, thank you very much, all right? And guess what happened? Our giving is way down. So I am irrationally thinking in my brain, well, that's because people are thinking they're going to come back next week and they're going to be able to give. All right, so I have got this nagging fear that the church is going to close, you're going to be a failure, okay? And then the next week comes and we do the recording, and I check on the tithes and offerings, and they are down on the bottom here, okay? And I've got this fear just going slamming me, okay? And then I'm sitting down in the Word of God. So every morning, I sit down with the Word of God. You call it devotion times. I call it my time with the Lord. So every morning since that, I'm sitting down with the Word of God, sitting down having a Bible time and a God time. And it was probably about after that second Sunday of doing this, and God rebukes me. He corrects me. All right? And by the way, the Bible says that that you will correct the ones you love. All right? And God corrects us with the word. So, all right? So he corrects me, and these scriptures come up. And it goes like this, this conversation from God. Now, I didn't hear him out here. It was in here. He says, did I not say that I'd never leave you or forsake you? Did I not say that I'll supply all your needs according to my riches? Okay, so I'm hearing this going on. And that's a nice rebuke because it was the word of God, right? So, and what it was is all the promises, okay, were coming up. The promises that I've hid in my heart, all right, were coming up. And then I heard, hey, I gave you authority. What are you going to do with it? So I had my correction. It was really good. And I got it. I got it right away. And I just went at it and I said, hey, fear, you're not of God. I command you to go. And then I had to do that a couple times a day, especially when I walked by our office where they do the finances. I walked by that and I was like, fear, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Fear. And I did that for a couple of days. And then, you know what? It just finally left. That was it. That was just wonderful. Okay. Now, let me show you what happened at the end of 2020. So we're closing our books at the end of 2020. And we're in the black. Yeah. I was like, woo! Okay, now I won't talk about what happened in 2021 because we've been all before. But at the end of 2020, we were in the black, and it was just wonderful. Now, this is interesting. If you looked at giving, we were down about 10% because people were laid off, they were working from homes, and you know, if you don't have a paycheck, you probably are not going to give what you were able to before. So that was going on. But here was the crazy thing. Our expenses were down that same amount. Because we're not jacking up the AC, well, excuse me, heat. That would have been heat. We are not running the electricity. So our utility bills were down. And that's why we ended up in the black. But really, I think we ended up, well, anyway, more about that. Okay, so that's not the miracle. That is good. To God be all the glory. And I thank you for all of you that were generous. Because it was just wild. It was wonderful. But the miracle was, I stayed out of fear the rest of the time. In the middle of, listen, that was, until I got it together, it was like March. March, April, May, June, July, August, you know, I just stayed out of fear. I just would command it to go, and that was it. I just was able, in the middle of all this going on, stayed out of fear. You know what's a really cool thing? God wants to do that in every one of your lives. No matter what you're going through, you can walk in peace. Yeah. Right? So I'm going to talk about how we do that, and that's what we'll, okay. So if you're taking notes, because you should take notes, but you know, if you're taking notes, write this down. This is our main idea. And if you're new to YCF, when I say our main idea, it's the big thing I want you to understand more clearly when you walk out of this place. And for some of you, you're going to go, this is a refresher class. Okay? Have you ever had to take a refresher class? All right? And then you're like, I totally forgot that. So this might be a refresher for some of you. This is just going to just catapult you. All right? So here's our main idea. If you're taking notes, you should write it down. If you're not taking notes, you should write it down. We can fade things into our life and out of our life. We can fade things into our life and out of our life. So what that means is we can use our faith, all right? We can use our faith to fade things out of our life like I did with fear. Fear, I command you to go. All right? And we can bring things into our life. So that's what this is all about here. Now, Jesus did this. Not just Pastor D. Jesus did this. So open up your Bibles to Mark 11. Hey, Jesus did this, and he did it with a tree. He cursed the fig tree. He went up to this tree, and he said, hey, I command you from this day forth, no one will ever eat fruit from you. How many of you know that story, all right? So, and then, open up to Mark 11:20. We'll jump in there. So Jesus has seen this fig tree, doesn't have any fruit, and he has talked to it. He has cursed it, and he commanded it to wither and die. All right, so here's the next day, verse 20. And as they were passing by, he's with his disciples, and as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots, okay? So it's 24 hours later, in you cursed has withered, okay? Now, if that were me, that would blow my mind too. Like, Jesus, I know you're pretty powerful, but man, you talk to this thing, it's dead, all right? So I get it. Now, Jesus is going to translate what he did. And it's verse 22. Let's do this. He said, Jesus answered and said to them, talking to Peter, he's talking to his disciples, he says, have faith in God. Everybody say, have faith in God. Some translations say, have the God kind of face. All of it is terrific, okay? Now, there's a lot of different ways I could go with that statement, have faith in God. But this is the one thing I want you to understand today, okay? You and I, when we have faith, ready? When we have faith in what God has promised, write that one down, okay? In what God has said, when we have faith in what God has declared, okay? We are going to be able to go and do what Jesus is going to tell us, coming up in the next verse, okay? But notice, you have to have faith in what God said, his promises, his instructions, all right? So, verse 23. This is Jesus. He says, truly I say to you, whoever, raise your hand if you are a whoever. You're a whoever. Ready? Whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. All right. So when I was like a newbie Christian, the first time I read that, I'm like, I'm just going to go out to the mountains. And then we go. So I saw a mountain, I said, go! And nothing happened, okay? So I realized, I think I need a little understanding, like, what do you mean? Okay, really, I did that, okay? So I had to go, okay, what is he talking about? So what is he talking about when he says you can talk to mountains, all right? Now, mountains, when Jesus wrote this in Bible time, were immovable. Today, we blow them up. We may bring dump trucks and we haul off the rocks, right? Have you ever seen that? Okay. Bible days, mountains, when he's saying this, so they get it, were immovable, all right? And so if they were immovable, you had to deal with it day in and day out. It was just always there. That mountain's there. You either went around the mountain or you had to climb over the mountain, okay? And it was just this nagging thing in your life. That mountain was always there, all right? Now, Jesus never told a mountain to jump up and go to the sea, okay? And no, to my knowledge, nobody's done that, all right? He's actually using it as an example, okay? It's an example, okay? It's a picture for us. It's a picture on how faith works. So don't be like me and go pointing to every mountain and say, go, all right? So this is what he's talking about. He says, there's going to be things in your life that are going to mess up your life. How about there's going to be, like, mountains. There's going to be things, mountains in your life that's going to mess up your life, okay? And you have a right to command them to go. You have a right to command them to go, all righty? Now, he's not telling us right there to break something in. He is telling us right there to push something up. Okay, can you see that? Okay, so we have a right to command things to go. Right? Now, let's look at that. Let's read that verse 23 again. And truly I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. So, the only way you can say that something is going to happen, it has to be said by God. Who has to say it? God has to say it, all right? It has to be in your Bible. The only way you can say and tell and believe, it has to be in your Bible. It has to be the Word of God. So he's giving the secret. Secret's out. This is how you speak things out of your life. You have to know what the Bible says, the promises are. All right? So let's look at verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, all things which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. All right? Right there, he's talking about how we bring things into our life by asking in prayer. How we bring things into our life by prayer. So remember our main idea about we can faith things into our life and out of our life, right? So let's talk about how we speak things out, all right? How do we speak things out of our life, okay? Why could I speak to fear and command it to go? Why could I do that, all right? So if you're taking notes, here's the answer, ready? If Jesus conquered it, then you can tell it to go. If Jesus conquered it, you can faith it out of your life, all right? If Jesus conquered it, if he defeated it, whatever Jesus defeated on the cross and then the grave, you can faith it out of your life, okay? You have a right to tell it to go. So I'm going to give you two scriptures, and actually if you spend time in the epistles, as Ephesians 1, Paul gives a lot of them, but here's two, ready? Colossians 2:15. Now, I'm going to read this out of a different translation, but you open up your Bible and follow along. Ready? Colossians 2:15. Jesus stripped the rulers and authorities. Okay, he's talking about the devil and the gang, right? His gang. He stripped the rulers and authorities of their power. The word power really in the Greek should be translated authority. Break that down. So he's saying, he, Jesus, stripped the devil and his gang of their authority. Ready? And he made a public spectacle of them as he celebrated his victory. So guys, we have a devil and he is still here. He's still on the planet, okay? And listen to this. He can still hurt people if, ready, they don't know that Jesus has taken his authority away from him. He can still hurt you and people if you don't know that Jesus has conquered him, stripped him of his authority. If you don't know that, he can still do that, all right? And so, if you don't know that Jesus gave you authority to tell him to go, that devil's just going to mow over you, all right? So, one, you have to know that Jesus has stripped him of his authority, and two, Jesus gave you authority over him, all right? So we have to know, he's been done, he's been defeated. Now, here's another picture from this. Turn over to 1 John 3. 1 John 3, verse 8. 1 John 3, verse 8. Again, if Jesus conquered it, you can faith it. Use your faith to push it out, right? Out of your life. 1 John 3, 8. I really want to get to the end of it, but I'll just read this part. The one who practices sin is in the of the devil, and the devil has been sinning since the beginning. The Son, Jesus, the Son of God, appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. All right? So what does that mean? Jesus left heaven, he came to earth, he died on the cross, he was buried, and he resurrected, and the reason why he did that was to destroy the works of the devil. To destroy sin and the works of the devil. That word works is plural. Okay, you see that word plural? So you got to ask the question, what are the other works? Plural, all right? What are the other works? What are the works that the devil's trying to pull the wool over your eyes to destroy you, just to defeat you, just to sleep in? So, fear is one of them. And you know why I know that? What is it? 2 Timothy 1, God has not given me a spirit of fear. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind, okay? So, one of the things I saw in COVID, and then listen, I get being cautious, but one of the things I saw through this whole pandemic was I saw believers, I saw Christians operating in high levels of fear, like to the roof, okay? All right? And I know, because it came on me with this finances for the church, okay? So, but we have to understand that we have authority over that. We have to understand that, and we have to know it, and you have to walk in it, or else you're going to just be smushed, okay? So here's another question. What are some of the works of the enemy? So I'm just going to give you a couple, like fear, anxiety, depression, and temptation to sin. Those are just a couple, all right? I can make a long list, but let's just box them in here, okay? So these are things, these are mountains, and guess what? You have a right to command them to go. You have a right, all right? Now, Peter, I love Peter. He makes it real simple. Pop over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5. Peter just makes this real simple what he says. 1 Peter 5:8. Ready? Keep your mind clear and stay alert. So why is he saying that? Because we have an enemy. Okay? Now, how many of you have teenage girls? How many of you had teenage girls? Teenage girls, now as a parent, you can worry about your teenage girls because they're naive. Okay? All right? They're naive, they're young, they're not aware of all the bad things and the bad guys out there. All right? True story. So I have this pastor friend who told this story, and I'm like, so I'm going to tell you this whole story. He has four kids, two boys. He says the boys did a whole bunch of other things, but my girls, they're just sweetie pies, they're real pretty, and they're real naive. So I made them watch the movie Taken. Oh. If you're not, I'm not recommending you watch the movie, okay? I'm not promoting it. But if you've never watched it, let me tell you about the movie Taken. It's about this dad. He's got some special skills. Is that a nice way of putting it? He's got some special skills. And his daughter goes on vacation, and she was taken in France. She was kidnapped for sex trafficking. Dad's worst nightmare, okay? So this dad, this pastor, makes his girls watch this with him. Do you know why? He's trying to teach them that there's bad people out there. And when you go out into a parking lot, get off your phone and look around, okay? Don't trust every stranger, all right? So I asked him, did it work? He says, yeah, I think so, but don't ask my wife. He's really mad about this, okay? So getting back to 1 Peter, I'm back here, okay? 1 Peter 5:8. This is for you and I. Keep your mind clear and be alert. Why? Because we have an enemy that's trying to take you and dump you in fear and anxiety and temptations and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So the rest of it says, keep your mind clear and be alert. Your opponent, the devil, he is your opponent, okay, is prowling around like a roaring lion as he looks for someone to devour, okay? He was trying to devour me with fear about finances here. He was consuming me with fear. And he was sort of winning with fear, all right? He really was. But thank God I knew what I knew. Thank God I hid the word in my heart. And thank God it started bubbling up. And I'm like, wait a minute. I command you to go, okay? But listen, he can't do that to every Christian if you know that Jesus has defeated him, taken and stripped him of his authority, and you have authority. He can't do that to you if you know that. If you don't know that, I probably get the phone call. I do get the phone calls, okay? All right, let's read verse 9. Be firm in the faith. So what are we talking about? Faith, right? Be firm in the faith and resist them. We're going to talk about that. Knowing that the other believers throughout the world are going through the same kinds of suffering, okay? Be firm in the faith and resist them. So just jot down Ephesians chapter 6. It goes through the armor of God. Just write down Ephesians chapter 6. And one of the things in Ephesians chapter 6 is the sword of the Spirit, which means the spoken word of God. Okay? So what he's telling us is you need to say what God says. You need to say, hey, fear, you go. Anxiety, you go. Depression, you go. Temptation to sin, you go. And listen, don't believe me. Go read where is it when Jesus is in the wilderness? Is that in Luke chapter 3? Jesus is in the wilderness and the devil comes up, his opponent, and he tries to tempt him to sin. And what does Jesus do? He takes the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and he said, it is written, go. It is written, go. It is written, go. So listen, you and I have authority to tell him to go. So everybody say go.
Go.
Right. Praise the Lord. All right. The last part of that verse is saying, knowing that other believers throughout the world are going through the same kind of suffering. So, you remember 2020 and all the COVID things? People were going through all sorts of stuff. Okay? 2021, people go through stuff. And the enemy is trying to consume you, consume them, consume me, and he's trying to consume you with fear, anxiety, depression, and stuff, okay? And he says to resist him. Resist him. And resist him, write this down, it means to stand your guard. You need to stand your guard, all right? So let me tell you a story. This happened. This person is not here today, so don't go looking around. But this gentleman had been in service, and he called me up after service, and he said, "Hey, Pastor D, I can't come to church anymore. I just got quit. I can't come. I can't come to the road group. I can't be around people. I just get, I think I might even have to quit my job." And I go, "Whoa, what's going on?" He said, "I have extreme anxiety when I'm around people. I'm very compassionate about that." And he said, "I went to Christian psychologists, I went to Christian counselors, and they say I don't have a chemical imbalance, because sometimes that can be it, and we can treat it differently like that way." And he said, "They all said I'm clear, but I have this extreme anxiety when I get around people." So I shared with him what I just shared with you. Okay, now so I'm going to go over the whole thing. And I went through it like this. I said, "Hey, you have authority, right? Okay, and you need to speak to this anxiety and command it to go." And so lights are going off, like Jesus defeated the enemy, right? And I have authority over the enemy, and I can command him to go, all right? So lights are going off, and I said, "Hey, listen, I'm going to pray for you. I'm actually going to jumpstart your engine. But tomorrow morning when you wake up, you are going to need to speak to this." So I saw him in church like about a month later, and he comes in and he's beaming. They smile. I go, "What happened?" "Just what you said, Pastor Nate." He says, "You know, I went home and went to bed. The next day I got up, this anxiety." Now, I've never had to deal with that, so I don't know, you know, but I know people. So he said, "This anxiety just was like a blanket on top of me. And I remember, wait a minute, Jesus has defeated the enemy. Jesus has stripped him of his authority. Jesus has given me authority." So I said, "Anxiety, I command you to go." And then it kind of followed me around, and I commanded it to go. And the next day it kind of followed me around, and I commanded it to go. "Anxiety, you go. You have no place in my life. Anxiety, you go. I have no place in my life." And I don't know how long I didn't ask him. He said, and it went. It went, okay? It's amazing. It's amazing when you know what Jesus has done, the devil's defeated, and you have authority. Amen? So our main idea is you can fake things into your life, not into your life. So let's talk about number two, things into your life. Okay? I like lots of things into my life, good things, all right? So write this down. Ready? If God promised it, we can pray for it. If God promised it, we can pray for it, okay? Now, I've been walking with the Lord for about 40 plus years, okay, 40 years. And I figured out a few things. I'm getting a little bit smarter. And you know what I noticed? Sometimes God just randomly blesses us. Just randomly. Like, we didn't even pray for the blessing. And we just get blessed. And I don't know why, but I'm liking it, okay? And sometimes we get to this dry spell. We're like, "God, where are you? God, do you know I exist? God, do you know my address? God, do you love me?" Okay. And at these moments, sometimes this happens, right? At these moments, we need to pray. Okay? We need to pray. So, back to Mark 11, 24. Turn back to Mark 11, 24. Praise God. Mark 11, 24. "Therefore I say to you, all things which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted unto you." So they're granted to us, right, when we believe we receive them. A little condition there. They're granted to us when we believe we've received them, okay? Now, a lot of people get confused with this, and I have seen people go extreme. I have heard some extreme teaching. I've seen people First, let me say, it is not a formula. You do step one, and you do step two, and three, and four to five, and then puff! It is not. It's still a trust in what God says. It's a trust in Him, okay? But in order to believe and to receive, you have to know the promises of God. You have to know the promises. So if you're telling me I'm in the Bible and I read 30 seconds, probably not big on knowing the promises, okay? You're going to have to get in daily and read the promises, all right? So we talked about last week, sovereign God. Sovereign God is God can do anything, anywhere, anytime, okay? And this sovereign God makes sovereign promises, right? So you have a right to ask for it. You have a right to ask for it. I don't know. Read the promise. God said it. You have a right to ask for it. So let me give you a couple examples. I actually quoted these all last week. So if you missed writing them down, you can write them down this week, all right? But just jot these down. We're not going to put them on the screen. James chapter 1, verse 5. Ready? If any man lacks wisdom, have you ever been through a week where you didn't know what to do and you needed wisdom? Okay? If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who freely gives liberally and never holds back. Guys, that is some promise. That's a promise that God makes, okay? Now, if you're a student here, have you ever needed wisdom in school? Ask them. It's not cheating on the test, right? Have you ever had problems with a teacher? Ask them. They'll help you out, all right? How many young parents are being newbie parents with babies? And you ever needed wisdom? How about you're still doing life and you need wisdom? Still do it, all right? All right? So, here's what we have to understand. God has wisdom. And this scripture says, if you ask, if you lack wisdom, you can ask Him, and He will give it to you. All right? That's the promise. So you do the ask, you do the promise, okay? So, is it His will to give you wisdom based on that scripture? Yes, Pastor Lee, I get it. Go ahead, go ahead, okay? So, it says, let him ask, not doubting, not waver, and let not a man... For a man that doubts or wavers and does not receive anything. So, what does that mean? We have to believe the promise. God, you said it, I believe it, I asked for it, so I'm going to say thank you. Right? Amen? Right. I think I said this last week, Philippians 4:9. My God shall supply all my needs, and that's my one I quoted about the finances here. My God shall supply all my needs according to His ability, His supply. Okay? Now, some of you have a lot of ability. I watched you. And listen, that's good, okay? And you should learn how to do a budget. You should learn to do a whole bunch of things. But you might have a time where you need some help, all right? So you need some help with your finances. So God is saying, I will supply the things that you need. So does He want to help you out? He does. So I'm going to pray that today, all right? Now, I'm going to talk on a tough one here, okay? But this is a toughie, and I want to help some people out. It's been a lot of people walk through this, and I believe I'm just going to give you some understanding and answers, okay? How many of you prayed for people for healing? How many have prayed for yourself for healing? How many of you didn't get an answer, the one you wanted, okay? And how many of you got answers? Woo! Okay? So, write this scripture down. 1 Peter 2:24. This is your answer. 1 Peter 2:24. This is Peter, and he goes, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. The better translation is, you are healed. Okay? Peter stole that scripture. It's an Old Testament scripture. It's Isaiah 53. Read Isaiah 53, 4, 5. 5'2". I had Graves' disease. Think about it like a knee. It'd be wonderful, okay? But the other theologians are saying it's for man. Right? So this is where they disagree, right? Now, the question is, it for today or is it for the future? And I believe every answer you'll find in the Word of God. So, open up to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Let me show you. Hallelujah. James 5:14. Is any among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church. Elders are people who know the Bible and believe it. I know a lot of people that have memorized it, but they don't believe it. Okay? So those are elders. Right? So if anyone's sick, let them call for the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Right. Guess what he just told us to do there? You can pray for people that are sick. So to answer that question, is it for the future? Well, it is for the future, but it's for now, because he's telling you to pray for people that are sick. So end of that question, right? So you can pray for people that are sick, right? Now, I get this question all the time because it says, pray over them and anoint them with oil from Israel in the name of the Lord. Okay. It doesn't say that. So I get asked this all the time. Pastor D, do I have to have oil to pray for someone? Read the next verse. The answer is always no, okay? And I don't really pray. I used to keep a bottle up here, and then the oil would get rancid, and then it gets messy. And one time it stained Jack's suit, so I'm not too happy with oil. Oil is simply a point of contact. You know, right? Don't do what I say. Come on, if you want to do it, okay? Praise the Lord. Okay, where was I? Verse 15, ready? And the prayer offered in oil?
Faith.
Yeah! A prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they have committed sin, they will be forgiven. We'll talk about that in a minute, okay? So it's prayer offered in faith. Faith. Faith in the promise. Right? The 1 Peter 2:24, all right? Yeah. And we talked about elders, all right? Sometimes I see it work, sometimes I don't. I don't always understand, and I never commend or condemn anybody.
Well, you know, you read that, what happened,
okay? Can we all agree it's in the Bible? 1 Peter 2:24, I think there's a whole bunch of healing scriptures in the Bible, okay? So, I'm just going to believe God's best. And usually when somebody asks me to pray for them, I'll go, what do you want me to pray? And this past week, I said, I'm going to give you two options. The best prayer to pray this one, okay? So, you know that part it says, if anybody has sinned, their sins will be forgiven? So, you know, why is that in there? Why is it in there? Isn't there for a reason? And this is what I came up with, and this is what I see. The number one reason people don't receive prayer, whether it's prayer for finances, it's prayer for wisdom, it's prayer for healing, is they feel condemned. They actually self-condemn themselves. This is usually what goes, yeah, but Pastor D, you don't know what I did. God can't really work that in my life. Pastor D, I am really bad. You don't know. So I can't do that, all right? But it says their sins will be forgiven, all right? And listen, so you should not feel guilty. God knows you're not perfect, right? But he calls you his child, brought you into his family. Now, does it mean I go around sinning? No, we should be growing, right? But listen, he's made this promise for all of his children. Amen? Right? So, praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to skip. Praise the Lord. So, we're going to pray. I know, I got to like, love, praise the Lord. So again, when I pray, I am going to shoot for the stars, baby. I am going for everything. And if I hit the moon, at least I'm off the earth, I'm up here, all right? So when you pray for people, pray everything that God has for them, all right? So that's my only responsibility. Praise God. All right, how can I wrap this up? Okay, let me just tell you one other thing. Ephesians, remember Ephesians chapter 6, not only does it talk about the sword of the Spirit, it talks about the shield of faith. The shield of faith that stops all the Bible tells us, really what it's telling us, you can build a shield of faith around your life. Alright? You can do this. We'll read Ephesians, okay? Now, I gotta add one more thing so you can get it. Ready? The Bible in the New Testament has this word called confession. Alright? And confession, write this down, means to say the same thing as another. To say the same thing of God. Confession is to say the same thing that God says. Alright? So, here we go. And it's some big Greek word, homologio or something like that, okay? So, if God promised it, whatever you got going on in your life, okay, that means you have a right to declare it in your life. It's so simple. If God promised it, you can declare it. Say it for your life, okay? So, this is how you build your faith shield. Ready? I do this all the time. By the time I was 29, my mom died of cancer. By the time I was 39, my dad died of a heart attack and a couple bouts of cancer, okay? I was determined then I was going to build shield of faith. Okay? This is how I do it. I would say, and I don't say it so you all hear and people think I'm crazy, okay? But it would go like this. And sometimes I lay hands on myself. I go, Father, I thank you for your word. Father, and I thank you that cancer cannot live on my body. I thank you that heart disease cannot live on my body. I thank you that arthritis cannot live on my body. And I thank you that with your stripes, Jesus, I am healed. I thank you, Father, that my body works perfectly the way you designed it. And I thank you that I'm going to live long and live strong. Listen, so I do that, my son. What am I doing? I am saying what God said. I am keeping this faith shield around my life, okay? And I did it for my kids when they're little. I'm doing it for my grandkids. I do it over my finances, okay? So, let me ask you a question. Is it better to do that? Say what God says or go all negative and complain? And please, don't ever. It's really hard for me not to spit at you. My arthritis. My allergies. My diabetes. Read your Bible. Okay. Again, I'm not spitting anybody, but okay. Isn't it better to say what God says? It's really simple. Okay. Now, does that mean I'm not going to get attacked? Follow me one day. Just like you. Okay. But listen. If we only know how much we can push out of our life and how much we can pull in and the power. Woo! Praise the Lord. Go visit our bookstore. We got lots of books on faith and confession. Amen. All righty. Let's pray. Praise the Lord. I just want to encourage you to find the promises of God. You know, you can actually Google. New Testament promises for Christians. I don't know how Google knows this, all right? Somebody programmed it, all right? So if you just talk to Google, all right? It's better than carrying my big words for a second, all right? So, Father, I thank you for the word. Father, thank you for the substance of faith. I like that this old saying, faith begins where the promises of God are known. So, Father, I thank you, Father, that you are opening our eyes to all of your promises that are yea and amen. I thank you, Father, you put a deep hunger in our hearts to know you, to know the promises and the blessings you have for us so that we can live long and strong and we can do that and impart it to others. So I thank you, Holy Spirit, you continue just to just keep this message alive in people's hearts this week. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have conquered for us. Father, we thank you for all of your promises. Man, it's good to be found in you. Thank you. Thank you for the sword, the spoken word, what you said. Father, we will say what you said. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, one more thing, just close your eyes for a second, because I never want to walk out of here, okay? If you're here today, I want to tell you, salvation is the same way. It is to believe, to say, and to receive. To believe that God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for everyone, for the world, not to receive it is to say and believe. So I say that Jesus, you have come for me. You died on the cross and you forgave me all my sins. And today I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. So here's my question. Would you like to receive Jesus? Would anybody like to receive Jesus? Pretty much know all y'all. I know all y'all. All right. Well, let's just say this out loud. You know, I'm always amazed someone will tap me on the shoulder. They've been sitting here for 9 months, a year, and they'll go, Pastor D, I just prayed that prayer. All right? So you always go and answer. You always go and answer. So let's go. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me and the world. I thank you, you died for my sins, and you took sickness and disease. Today I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I'm now a child of God. I'm your special one. Amen. Praise God. Well, guys, I love you. It has been a fun-filled Sunday morning. Amen. Stand up. Go talk to people. We got strong coffee. We got good people.